This is Brock Bowers of the Las Vegas Raiders, and you're listening to JT the Brick on Raider Nation Radio.
It's the JT the Brick Show.
You know, we're going to have a lot of positive energy. The guys that love to compete and play with passion are going to have a chance at our place.
Your silver and black home to sound off for over 25 years.
Man, I'm loving it, man. They're making my job tremendously easy to be out here with these young, talented players, man. I think we have a really good team.
I'm super excited. I'm already loving this fan base, so I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
And now, here's JT the Brick.
Out of the gate, JT, as we kick off a week here on the flagship of the Silver and Black Raider Nation Radio. You can watch the show live. We are live and streaming on YouTube, on X. That's JT the Brick YT on YouTube, X JT the Brick. If you're a body language guy like me, you'll be able to see my body language. So, here's the deal. We've got a lot to cover today. Since I last talked to you on this platform, I hosted the Raiders pregame show. I hosted the Raiders postgame show. I hosted my national show on Mad Dog last night. And this morning, I hosted Raiders Roundtable with Eric Allen and Lincoln Kennedy and Paul Gutierrez. I'm all prepped up. No one has talked about the Raiders more than me since the game ended. Nobody. Play-by-play guy, analyst. No one's talked about the Raiders more than me. Maybe Eric Allen. Eric Allen, maybe. So the amount of volume that I've covered on that loss in the Commanders, I'm ready to go. So you don't have to worry about me. Did I see this? I saw everything. And we're going to adjust, and we're going to get ready this week, which now becomes a critical week that I did not expect to be this critical heading into week four of the regular season. It's a critical week. I will elevate my game. I hope you elevate your game and we're able to have a productive week here. I'm going to have a productive week. My job's pretty simple. I review the tape, talk about it for a day or two, then we move on to the opponent, the Chicago Bears, who look great. They didn't look good. They look great. Oh, boy. We got to deal with that. So with everything that's happening here, if you're watching me live on YouTube and you're seeing what I'm going to talk about today, we are going to get down in the weeds and we're going to try to fix this. We're going to get down in the weeds and try to fix this. I interview the head coach tomorrow. I sit down with Pete Carroll tomorrow. He's chill. He's not going to panic. This is why he's here. He's not going to panic. He's going to try to fix it. I hope everybody has respect for Pete Carroll. I hope you do, because if you don't, we're probably going to lose you. In regards to if you don't respect Pete Carroll in the process and how he can kind of adjust and do that, then I don't know what to, I can't help you. Then I can't help you, and you might need to have a different therapist than me. You need someone else who's going to tell you that your life as a Raider fan is going to be okay or not. Because Pete Carroll is really the strength of this team because of his unbelievable success that he's been at as a head coach. That's kind of what Pete brings to the table. If you're checked out on that, and if you're checked out on that, oh boy, after he's installing a new program and he's instilling everything new and he's trying to get this right, then I don't know what to tell you. I'm not the guy. I'm not the guy for you on that one. I'm the guy saying let Pete try to figure this out. Give Pete the benefit of the doubt. But we're all upset. That doesn't change your misery index. That doesn't change that you're upset about what you've seen. We know all that. As we said, it's big boy radio. In my time slot, we're big boy radio. 30 years of doing this, we do it differently. We don't let people come in and make fun of people's hair or rip on the coach's son and ask him to be fired. If you want to do that, there's plenty of platforms to do that. If you want to criticize and be fair and make suggestions, this is the perfect show for you. My train has left the station decades ago where I give a crap what anybody thinks anymore. Other than my bosses, the coaches, and the people that I care about. Everybody else, I could care less. You either like the show, you like the energy of it, you like the content, you like the guest, you like all that. I think we're really good at that. Really good at that. And most of it doesn't have to do with me. It has to do with everybody else who contributes. But I know what everybody's piping off about. I did the postgame show after the game with Lincoln Kennedy. What do you think we did for 90 minutes? We're trying to work our way through this. And there's a lot of things we got to work our way through. So if you want to get through on Mondays, I've kind of changed it up a bit. We have Sam Munson at the top of the hour. That's a national interview, as he does a great job from the 33rd team. I got Mark Anderson from the AP. He was at the press conference today with Pete Carroll. We have the Pete Carroll press conference. If you didn't hear it live, you'll hear it here. So we got a lot to cover. Okay? We got a lot to cover today, and most of it is negative because of the performances of the last 2 weeks were really bad. They didn't lose games. They lost those games terribly and played very poorly. So everybody needs to be evaluated, the coaches, the players, the philosophy of what they're doing, because not only is it not working, but they're the talk of the town because it's looking really bad. So we got that. We've done this before, but it's supposed to be different with Pete Carroll. Okay, the level of respect you have with Pete Carroll to fix this, look, he's either going to fix it or not. Hopefully he fixes it. I'm a season ticket holder. I want it to be fixed. Hopefully he fixes it this year. That would even be better. If it takes a little bit longer than that, I think everybody understands why Pete Carroll was brought in to do this. And then there's always those side topics about who should play, should you change out a player, should you bench a player and all that. I actually enjoy that. I actually enjoy that aspect of sports radio. I really do. I'm a guy when it comes to sports radio that is glasses half empty. In life, if you know me, I think I'm glasses half full. My son is sitting next to me. We'll get his response. But when it comes to this, I want the Raiders to win every game. If they lose close games and play well, I'm okay. I'm upset that they lost, really upset, but I see things that they're doing. Right now, they're doing nothing correctly. Right now, they need to fix everything. They need to fix everything, probably other than the culture of compete and do that. That wasn't a scam. We didn't fake that. Vinny Bonsignor, Vin Sapienza, Q Myers. We're at practice all year. The new competition, Pete, and how he's building this organization and his likeliness, that wasn't fake. That's all real, and it's still real. On how he's preparing, looking at the tape after a bad game. That's what he does. He's had tremendous success. He has, I don't think, and I could be wrong, someone can check me on this. I can't recall a time when Pete Carroll in Seattle had two games like this. And believe me, Geno had a bad game or two from time to time. We know that. Geno didn't play well from time to time and probably lost two in a row. And one of them, he had three picks or whatever. But it didn't look this bad. It did not look this bad. So that's kind of new to Pete Carroll, wouldn't you say? I mean, you've got to go back to Pete Carroll as the head coach of the Patriots before he got let go, maybe, where a team didn't look that good. It wasn't like that at USC, and it wasn't like that with Seattle. So Pete hasn't had to deal with what he's dealing this week. I'm comfortable that he can handle it because he's a potential Hall of Fame coach. This is not a rookie coach, an interim head coach. This is someone that's not going to get caught up in drama. This is a guy who's going to come to work and be really enthusiastic and try to fix it. So before I get to everybody here, I just want to give you, and we got all the sound bites that I'll play throughout the show. This is a two-day cleanup, Jess. This is a two-day, okay? There's a spill in aisle two, and I got to bring in a hazmat machine to clean up aisle two. This is a two-day cleanup for me. I can't go to the Bears yet. And I'm telling you, I watched the Bears yesterday. Let me tell you what happened with the Bears. The Bears had their come-to-God moment. Oh, right before us. Really? They had their game where Ben Johnson has been preaching, please, guys, believe in me. Believe in what I'm going to do. I'm Ben Johnson. Believe in what I'm instilling. And it happened in a big way against the Cowboys. And as I talked to Eric Allen about this today on Raiders Roundtable, here's what's crazy. When you beat the Cowboys at any level, dating back to Tom Landry, Jimmy Johnson, Bill Parcells, whenever, even now Brian Schottenheimer, when you beat the Cowboys, they're bigger than anybody. They're America's team. So you beat them badly, and then you get on a plane to go to Vegas, everybody on that plane from Chicago is bought in now. They were not bought in 48 hours ago. They weren't. I can prove it. They were not all bought in. Now they are. We got to deal with that too. But I know Max Crosby personally. I know Geno. I'm getting to know Geno more. I talk to Pete Carroll every week. I'm pretty confident that the Raiders are all in. There are a couple of rogue Raider fans that want to say, well, he doesn't like him, or why doesn't he start or this? And you're trying to find something to tear apart the team. You're trying to find something that is maybe there or not. I don't know if it's there or not, but I think overall, knowing Pete Carroll and getting to know him, that he'll have this figured out. Someone told me Pete was brought in just for this, not to freak out. Pete doesn't freak out. He's a hell of a football coach. So let him figure it out. But now the big elephant in the room before I get to the calls, and they're lined up, is that the offensive line is looked at around the league as a disaster. So don't clip this and tell me I said that. I did not say that. Around the league, the national media is painting out the Raiders' offensive line to be a disaster. So we got to figure out how it's going to get fixed. Now, Lincoln Kennedy and I had some pushback you're going to hear when we play our segment later. Lincoln, who was one of the great offensive lines to play in the modern era of the Raiders, believed that you can't keep changing everything up. You got to coach these guys up better. You got to coach them up better and to get it done this way, better. And then once you coach them up better and they get more experience, they'll get better. That's Lincoln's theory on this. Other people believe blow it up, cut him, move him, take this guy out. I'm kind of in between. I think one of the things the Raiders have at their resources is they can move things around. If they want to move Jackson Powers Johnson to center to see if he could help make the offensive line better, they can do that. We know that he played center. He won the Remington Award in college. If they want to bench Dylan Parham, bench him for a game and bring in or move Kappa over there or do something, they can do that. Dylan Parham deserves to be benched, in my opinion. But I'm not saying cut. I'm not saying that Dylan Parham can't come back in a week or two because he sees something better. I don't know. And with all this, something has to happen now. It is a one-alarm fire because it's early in the season. We don't want to see it turn into a five-alarm blaze where we need helicopters with water and we need everybody on deck to put out this fire. This is a fire now with this offensive line. And Raider Nation is feeding into the fire. Raider Nation is feeding the fire because, A, you're really smart. You're Raider fans. You know what you're doing. B, you know football and you know this team. But what's happening now with Raider fans is they're skipping over everything saying, this is a train wreck. It's a forest fire. We can't fix it. I'm not going to do that because I'm running a radio show. I can't throw kerosene on the fire. Nor do I. I've never done that. I want the team to fix it. So that's where we're at. And for those who say it's already a five-alarm fire, great. That's your opinion. And you have the ability to do a couple of things. Figure out and help me on how to fix it, but do it with respect. Number two, special teams was a nightmare. A nightmare. Special teams were so bad that, let's play the Deebo Samuel. The game starts, you're on the road. You win the toss, you defer, you're going to kick it off to Deebo Samuel. I have no problem kicking it off to Deebo Samuel. You got to be able to tackle him. This is how the game opened up.
Big hole, on across the 30, Samuel near midfield, and he's angling to the left. Deebo Samuel went to 30, Raiders finally track him down inside the 25-yard line. A 70-yard kickoff return for Deebo Samuel to open things up.
Okay, that's Jason Horowitz on all the calls. So special teams, you're thinking to yourself, oh boy, we can't have this problem. We can't have this problem. We can't have a special teams problem. It got worse. So there were no adjustments on special teams. They just got hammered. And you're not supposed to. Special teams is supposed to be a non-event now with this new enhanced kickoff rule where everybody's in a phone booth and no one can bust a big play. Either us or them can't bust it. You tackle everybody between the 20 and 30. Right? That's it. There's no Billy White Shoes Johnson running around or the great Tim Brown, a Hall of Famer on punt returns. We don't have that much in the league. It just happened to us. Okay, so we're behind the eight ball right out of the gate. And then Marcus Mariota, we didn't know if he could play at a high level or not. Marcus Mariota sends a message to the entire Raider Nation that his body clock is ready, his energy is high, and he's going to run it in for a touchdown.
Mariota in the shotgun, third and goal from the two. McLaurin wide left, two receivers right, Samuel in the slot. Mariota's going to pass for the first time. He's penetrated. He takes off up the middle, dives for the end zone. Touchdown, Washington. Kirk, you said it right from the get-go. He's not the same runner he once was, but he's still dangerous. Mariota, a two-yard scramble, and the Commanders, 3 minutes into the game, have a 6-0 lead.
Okay, so that's how the game opened up. The Raiders are behind, but the Raiders weren't that far behind. The Raiders could have stabilized this whole thing. 10-3, not the end of the world. Raiders could have stabilized everything. And then they started running their offense, and their offensive line couldn't pick up anybody and block. Ashton Gentry's getting clipped behind the line of scrimmage. I will say this about Ashton. When Ashton does have a clean hole, there better not be anybody complaining about Ashton Gentry. When there's a hole, he hits it and runs up 10 yards and runs someone over. That's what he looks like. I talked to a Hall of Famer today and said he remembers O.J. Simpson's rookie year, one of the greatest to ever play. His rookie year in Buffalo, he couldn't get back to the line of scrimmage. He was getting tattooed. He turned out to be one of the greatest of all time on the field. Okay, when Ashton has a hole, he's hitting it, he looks great. He doesn't look good, he looks great. When he can't get the ball because he's getting blown up when Geno hands it to him, that's a different story if you want to rip on Ashton. I don't know how you can. I got a lot more to get to. I want to get to Chris in West Oakland. He's a coach who wants to get back to practice. Chris, you kind of warned us of this. Don't get too high after the New England victory.
Yeah, listen, the Chargers and the Reds, the Commanders, are better than the Raiders. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. They're better teams. What alarmed me a little bit that I didn't think I'd see with Pete Carroll coach teams, I'm not seeing that feistiness, that competitiveness. I knew this was going to be a tough game going across the country, but like you said, you start off the game, you're down 7-0, you give up a 70-yard kickoff return, and then you let a quarterback like Mariota, that you know their game plan is going to be to run the ball, they run the ball down your throat five straight times, and Geno Smith's and the offense is in a 7-0 hole before they ever touch the ball. And this is they didn't look ready to play. For what you want to blame the long road trip, the short week, whatever. I don't expect that out of Pete Carroll coach team. And, yes, I respect Pete Carroll immensely. He's not a potential Hall of Famer, JT. He's a lock Hall of Famer eventually. And I do think he'll get it right. We'll go there a little more. But this was a beatdown in all three levels, special teams, defense, offense. Defense can't tackle. They're blowing coverages. Other than Max Finley got a sack, I believe it was in the fourth quarter, they're just not getting home and not creating havoc, and they're not forcing turnovers. Again, this isn't the Ravens of 2000 where you're just going to lock teams up and force them into three and outs. They need to bend, not break. They need to get some turnovers because for this offense to have any chance, they've got to be set up on some short fields. Now let's get to that offense. Look, Geno Smith was awful Monday night. I'm not going to say – you want to give him a pass yesterday? Yesterday's offensive line, JT, looked like a JV team practicing against the varsity. It was that bad. Geno was running for his life, and those two long touchdowns to Trey Tucker, that's just window dressing because the Commanders had called off the dogs at that point. But with the offensive line, and this is a question for Lincoln Kennedy, I don't like – and I'm going to die on this hill. I'm not a fan of the zone blocking scheme, but as a coach – the coaching 101, you coach what you have, not what you wish you do. If you want a zone-blocking scheme, then you get smaller, quicker linemen. The Raiders have big maulers. JPJ, Parnum, Miller, Glaze. These are big man-on-man guys. The question for Lincoln, JT, is asking this. Is that a Pete Carroll decision, or is that a Chip Kelly and his line coach's decision, which scheme you're going to run? Because I don't believe – the other thing that I don't believe it's going to get better if they keep trying to jam a round hole, a square peg in a round hole. That's what you're trying to do with this group and zone blocking. So, yeah, like I said, that would be a question for Link to add. Yep. Maybe he can answer that better than you. Other than that, man, look, big game coming up. We'll talk about that more this week. But as I said in my prediction, I don't want this season to skid off the rails and we're out of it by Halloween. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's going to happen. I'm not panicking yet, but what worries me about the line, especially after three games, we're getting worse each week. We're not getting better. That's not a good sign. So we'll worry more about the Chicago game later in the week, man. I'm not ready to jump off the cliff yet, but I got to admit, there's some signs there I don't like. Thank you, my friend. I'll talk to you later.
Yes, thanks for Chris, who's been a Raider fan his whole entire life, a season ticket holder and all that. Chris really is passionate. The older he gets, like me, I think the calmer he gets in the level of just losing our minds. But when it does come to this overall, there is a level of concern with the offensive line. There is. This team decided to draft DJ Glaze the year before and not bring in a signature veteran right tackle. Okay. Before John Spytek got here, because John Spytek's new, and I think he overall drafted a lot of good players, right? A lot of good players. We know why he's here. What he did at Tampa, I believe a lot in what John Spytek's trying to do. But they were like, we're going to go with DJ Glaze. Okay. Don't act like DJ Glaze is going to pitch a shutout. Dylan Parham came from a former regime. Two before. Dylan Parham was the first draft pick of, at the time, if you look at Dave Ziegler, who drafted some good players. Then it was Tom Telesco. Now it's John Spytek. Well, guess what? Dylan Parham made the team. If they didn't like him, he wouldn't have made the team. He would have been gone. Everybody was gone and scrubbed from this roster if they didn't believe in him. I think Dylan Parham could be a good player. What has happened to him? There are literally plays, where someone lines up in front of him, and then no one's in front of him, and he doesn't pick anybody up, and three guys are in the backfield. Oh, boy. Wait a second. What's going on with that? Okay, is it communication? Is it trying to figure out what you're going to do with protection? Tom Brady was the greatest quarterback of all time with one thing, many things, but Tom Brady was the greatest quarterback of all time. No one was second when it came to protection. Do you remember all the times Brady went to the line of scrimmage early in the count, looked at the defense, said something to the right, said something to the left? He was talking about the protection, not, hey, you, go run a bomb. Hey, you, go run this. They had that all figured out. He had the protection set. And then Brady would fade back. And you notice that Brady always threw to someone who was wide open. That's what was great about Brady's career, is when Brady faded back and he threw the ball, very much like Mahomes, but better, he threw it to the open guy. We're throwing it to guys who are double covered. We don't have an open guy. And the reason we don't have an open guy is twofold. We're not putting enough players into the route because we don't have enough time to protect. This is football 101. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to go empty. Okay? I don't need Ashton Jeanty to block. Okay? If we're going to line up Ashton Jeanty behind a guard and put him in that situation where he's not lining up behind Geno, he's ahead of Geno behind a guard, we got problems. We didn't draft that kid to do that. So if Ashton's behind and he's an empty, it's just Ashton, he's a single back set. We got to run four guys. And I told you this last week. Two things I told you last week. It's not, hey, I told you so. What do I know? I told you two things. We got Trey Tucker and Dante Thornton. They're both really fast, right? Supposedly 4-3. Do we all agree on that? Why aren't we running those guys deep and taking two safeties and corners with them to open up the middle of the field? I don't know. Because we don't have the time to do it. We don't have the time to run the plays that I want to run out of Henderson. When they're running these plays in Henderson, going up against Charles Snowden and someone else in shorts and shells, and they're running a crossing route, there's no one like Max at 1,000% trying to take them down. So everybody's open. Not happening in the game. Our quarterback, who is good, we got a good quarterback. And man, I don't say this often, and you know me. If you've been listening to me, I don't say this often because I wasn't a fan of Derek Carr all the time at the podium. At the podium, Derek was very emotional. Derek got beat up a lot. Derek got hammered physically in a lot of games. And when he went to the podium, you were like, what's Derek going to say? Is Derek going to be emotional? Is Derek always wanted to win? He was a man of faith. He always talked about his faith, which I loved, and wanting to win. But Derek could get there and tell you something because he was emotional. Geno, it's on me. This is on me. I can't wait to get back in the building. I'll fix this. Same with Pete. Give him a chance to do it. Give him a chance to do it. See, I have no choice because I'm a season ticket holder and a radio host. I'm going to be here throughout the season, and I'm hoping there's some ebb and flows. Right? There's some good things and some bad things, and they clean up the bad things. Right now, they have a bigger problem on their hands than after the Chargers where they scored 9 points. Charger game, they didn't play that bad. Their defense played pretty good. They were down 3-0 before the whistle blew, and they only gave up 17 points to Justin Herbert, who's a lot better than Marcus Mariota. But this game had a lot of problems that I'm very concerned about. I am very concerned with this offensive line. And I believe that you have to change the philosophy of what the coaches want to do with this O-line, which normally is just make it simpler, right? It's not make it more complex. Forget about that. It's not bringing in a Harvard MBA offensive line mind to go, we're going to do something really tricky and way out there. We're going to do this wild new... No. We got to make it I block you, you block him, you block him, and hope it works. Case Raider out in Illinois. You're up next. Appreciate you calling in. What do you got?
You know, JT, we sit and listen to everyone tell us everything all off season about the high-flying offense, the high-scoring offense, the defense is doing this, the defense is doing that, JT, but then it comes to game time. This is what the Raiders need to do, and I'm going to keep it honest and calm and real with you. The Raiders, we have to start from ground zero, JT. There's this mismatching.
Goodbye. Get rid of him. Get rid of him. We know who he is. He's stupid enough to say he's from Illinois. My wife's from Illinois. It's just amazing. That's on me. Okay? So you're gone. I mean, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, but I am a tool in the shed. I could be productive here. So no, that's done on that one. So when it comes to what we talked about in the preseason, what did anybody talk about in the preseason that worked or didn't work? I was here for the whole preseason. What did we say that worked or didn't work? We brought in Pete Carroll. We drafted Ashton Jeanty. We got Dante Thornton, Jack Besh. I talked to Jack Besh today for a minute, just for a minute in the lunchroom for a second on the way out. And we got the players. We're questioning the offensive line. Are we all good with this? Is there anything I'm missing? Because the other thing I'm questioning is when you have inexperienced corners, your inexperienced corners are going to get beat maybe every game. You better hope the game doesn't come down to a fourth quarter inexperienced corner because he might go for a stop and go. Caillou Kelly might do that for 10 weeks and still play well. I saw that coming. I told y'all about if we didn't want Stephon Gilmore, if we didn't want a veteran, if we weren't going to trade for a corner, when we had Jack Jones here, he was making some mistakes, but we knew what we had in Jack Jones. I'm all for the youth movement because Pete wants to go with younger players and play them. I'm all right with that. But now we have a problem with the O-line, and the O-line needs to be fixed. So Lincoln Kennedy has already joined me this week. You'll hear that. I've reached out to Steve Wisniewski, maybe the nastiest guard to ever play for this team other than Gene Upshaw. And I reached out to him. And there's a couple other offensive linemen I'm texting just to get their comments. And we got to figure out how to fix the offensive line. That's it. Because the offensive line does not have any... Let me walk that back. The offensive line at this moment leaves us no indication that they're going to play better, no matter if the coach tells me that tomorrow, you tell me it on the phones, I tell you on the phones. As of today, and what's today's date? September 22nd. Other than Colton Miller, we are looking at an offensive line, and the Raider Nation has little to no confidence in them. So we got to fix it. Coaches get paid to fix it, okay? They're in film study. They're not panicking. They're working with the team. They're trying to fix this. Give the coaches credit that they can fix it. And if you don't want to give them credit for that, you can still participate. But, man, it's week three. I think we should be 2-1 by now. Everybody that I knew in Raider Nation before the season started would have took 2-2 all day long. That's what I had the Raiders at, 2-2. I didn't have them at 3-1. I didn't see this team going 4-0. I had them about 2-2. Well, now we got to win. And I'm telling you, Chicago's coming in here. Maybe it's good, maybe it's bad. They are coming in here flying high. The monologue is brought to you by PTs. They fuel the monologue. 5 to 7, midnight to 2, the best happy hour in town. Head on out to PTs tonight for Monday Night Football. How about this game? And we'll give you all our Monday Night Football venues if you can't get to a PT's coming up there. But 5 to 7, half-price drinks, it sounds great to me. When we come back, more on this O-line issue. How do you change protection? What do? How do you try to fix it? Want to thank Mike over at La Casa Cigars. I was there with Thor the other day. We had an unbelievable cigar. We had a couple of Modelos, and we talked Raider football. That was before the game. Now I'm going to need 3 Modelos. And an Uber card to get home. But I'm ready to roll today. Raider Nation, come to me. Come to me. I'm ready for you.
Welcome back to the JT the Brick Show, brought to you by Modelo Especial, the new number one beer in the U.S.
Bowers, Myers, Tucker, all to the left. Shotgun. Gugino, straight drop, looking. dancing. Out to the right, throws back in the end zone for Tucker. Wide open! He caught it! Touchdown, Raiders! Trey Tucker came from all the way on the left side. He followed his quarterback all the way to the right side. His second touchdown of the year. And after an awful start, the Raiders are an extra point away from tying this game.
Trey Tucker had a hell of a game. How dare anybody say it was during garbage time? Ask anybody like Fred Biletnikoff or a wide receiver like Mervin Fernandez, who I spend time with at this garbage time. You play in an NFL football game and you get three touchdowns in a game? That is fantastic. Trey Tucker looks good. Get the ball to him. The first play of the game was to Jacoby Myers for a big play. Why didn't we see that play again? What happened? Moving Geno out, big play. Let's see more of that. Glasses half full as Trey Tucker's getting open. He's becoming a possession receiver. Jack Besh made an unbelievable catch coming back to the ball on a third down. But we got to get Brock going, and we got to get everybody going here. What about Dante Thornton? I mean, come on. Dante Thornton's a matchup nightmare. Mark Anderson, the great journalist from the AP, joins us. I think your first question today, correct me if I was wrong, was on special teams. How did Pete Carroll react to that performance?
Actually, it was actually on the offensive line, but I did ask him about special teams. But, yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, he made a point of giving credit to Washington for a special teams play, but obviously you just can't give that up. You know, the kickoff return opened the game. That set the tone. Suddenly it's 7-0 before, you know, the game barely started. That said, I thought they had every chance to go into halftime 10-10, and then who knows, second half. Mm-hmm. When they gave up those 10 points right at the end of the second, right at the end of the first half, I thought the game was essentially over at that point. Mm-hmm. I know teams come back all the time, but it just felt like the game was done at that point.
Yeah, I was really, before we get to the O-line, I was really disappointed that at the end of the first half, I think it was 3rd and 17, and they checked down. And then they got, you know, Washington got the ball and was able to get in field goal range and take that 2-score lead. That, to me, wasn't what I wanted to see. I know you got to be careful with the time, and I just don't think this team throws to the marker enough. You know, the problem with the former regimes was 3rd and anything over 10 was just a handoff and just get off the field. I'm hoping with Geno Smith with his legs, Mark, that on 3rd and 17, 3rd and 14, they give someone a chance to make a play and throw it to get a flag. That was a point in the game. I agree with you. I went into halftime saying, man, they could have got the ball out down seven with the ball to tie up the game, and the game seemed to get away right then.
Yeah, and then the play where I can't remember the back's name, he broke three tackles at the line of scrimmage and scored on a 60-yard run. You just can't give that up. I mean, maybe could the Commanders still go down and score at that point, but if you hold them to, say, a field goal and you go into halftime down 13-10, you mm-hmm. feel like you're right there. I just felt, and I wasn't on the sideline, obviously. I don't know how they felt, but it just, watching it on TV, it just felt like such a deflating moment.
Mark Anderson's our guest. So let's get to the elephant in the room, the offensive line. What do you think Pete Carroll and the staff have to do, from his son to Chip Kelly? It's Chip Kelly's offense. He's at the top as offensive coordinator. Joe Philbin's a former head coach in this league. At the press conference, did you sense that was as big of a story as it sounds like it is? And what is Pete Carroll going to do to rectify that before the Bears come in?
Well, it sounds like JPJ is going to get every look this week. And I think Pete Carroll, what I gathered from him today, sounds like he wants Jackson Powers Johnson to reclaim the right guard position. And so I think that's part of where they're going to start. He also said they have who they have. Mm-hmm. The two players they drafted, I think both in the third round, he said they're not ready. Maybe later at this point they will be. They're just not ready now. So this is who they have. So maybe Jackson Powers Johnson gives them a little bit of a boost. He's going to need to. There's also, I'm sure, some things they can do from a schematic standpoint to take some pressure off the line, with some more, you know, some more quick passes, that sort of thing, to kind of loosen the defense. Um, You know, and you know, we saw even we saw this game though when they started taking shots down the field a bit more, that seemed to help too. So there are things they can do, but I think he's largely right. I mean, they've got who they've got, and they're you know, maybe they can make a move at the trade deadline, but I don't really see that being a cure all. So I think they should have made offensive line more of a priority in the offseason, and now we're seeing that they're paying the price for it.
Yeah, Mark Anderson's our guest. I think everybody's talking about that. What could they have done to improve this? But you and I were there the year before in Costa Mesa where Colton Miller wasn't available. Jackson Powers-Johnson didn't play a snap in camp and in the preseason, and the offensive line was okay in the second half and at the end of the year. It's just that it seems like something's in their head in regards to protection. I mean, I've never seen this from Dylan Parham. I mean, there are plays where he's lining up with two guys in front of him, and he's going the wrong way on protection, and a linebacker is coming through untouched and just attacking Geno. I mean, this is basic blocking here, man. If you're going backwards because you're pass protecting, pick up a guy with each arm, try to hit someone. But I feel like now they're trying to get their protection to go where they're feeling we got to control that gap. That gap, we got to help Jordan Meredith. So we're going to kind of double that gap, and then someone's coming through a wide open dam break, and Geno has no time to do anything.
No, he was running for his life, and I was impressed by him that he didn't get sacked more often yesterday. I thought he did about as well as you could under the circumstances.
I thought
Ashton Jeanty actually did pretty well too. I mean, how many times has he met in the backfield by a defender? But when he had the chance to actually get some room and be physical, he was really good. Mm-hmm. I thought it was actually probably his best game of the season so far. I do think he's going to eventually break out, but he's going to need help up front. And, you know, maybe this is the week it happens. It's going to happen, you know, you would think sooner than later. But it does start up front. And if that line doesn't improve, then it will be a long season for Ashton.
Wrapping it up with Mark Anderson. So I see at the game, Chicago looked great. But look, you know, they're playing Dallas. Dallas's defense is very flawed on the back end. But yeah. I call it the buy-in game because Pete Carroll's had buy-in. He's got it now. He had buy-in because he's Pete Carroll. Ben Johnson never coached a game in his life as a head coach, and they were 0-2, and they had problems in camp, and he kicked the offense off the field one day, and like it wasn't going perfectly. They are 1,000% bought in after that post-game press conference when he told that team, we're playing situational football. We did this right. Everybody's getting a game ball. The quarterback throws 4 touchdowns. The defense plays great. And they beat the Cowboys. So that team looks much better to me, just the eyeball test, coming into Vegas than what I expected about 6-7 days ago.
Yeah, I'm still curious about how much of the system that Caleb Williams has picked up. I mean, as you point out, it's the Cowboys. Their defense is just really bad. So is it just a one-time thing right now for the Bears where that's going to, you know, Caleb Williams is revert back to what he's been the past, you know, going back to last season? Or is that the Caleb Williams we all thought he would be when he got drafted by the Bears? So that's what I'm really curious to see on Sunday. Because I think the Raiders could give him a hard time. And Max Crosby by himself can give K.O. Williams a hard time. So I think they're going to put up a lot better effort against the Bears than the Cowboys did. It's going to be – so I think this is a real chance for the Raiders to show, especially on defense, what they can do. And if they can get Williams frustrated, you know, that gives the Raiders every chance to win that game.
Thank you, Mark. Always a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you too, JT. Take care.
That's Mark Anderson from the AP, brought to you by Remy Martin. Sip like sports royalty. One of the great things about Remy Martin, their 1738 is the official cognac of our show, specifically made for the American palate, smoother, lighter, and finished the same way bourbon is finished, which I needed to hear about there because I like bourbon too. So you can mix this into a great Manhattan, an old-fashioned, an espresso martini now. Forget about it. Once you replace what you have in your espresso martini with Remy Martin 1738, you're going to thank us for it. Remy Martin, sip like sports royalty. They got a lot of activations with us. Their entire team over at Remy Martin is hands-on with us in a great way. They're telling us what they want to do to help Raider Nation with all these great activations in town. We really appreciate our partnership and all the interviews we have with the breakdowns brought to you by Remy Martin, Sip Like Sports Royalty. So it's a very adult show today, which is nice. I'm not losing my mind at the level like a JT Bricktator or JT Volcano on a scale of 1 to 10 is about a 6, right? It's about a 6. You know, someone told me yesterday when they saw me, it feels like week 8. I said, no, don't. Not for me. Maybe for you. Not for me. I feel like it's week 3, going on week 4. But I did not expect this performance. I did not expect this performance. And a lot of other people didn't. Except for some fans, I'm not calling them any fans, some fans who literally are acting like they want the team to lose because they just want absolute chaos in their life. Oh, we're going to lose next week. Oh, no, Daniel Jones the week after that. Oh, we're going to lose every game. Get those people out of your life. They're toxic. Not that they're not fans, but I have the right to judge fans because I'm judged every bleeping second I'm on the radio. Good, bad, or indifferent. So choose the fans you want to hang out with. I choose the Black Hole. When I go with the Black Hole and I'm with Mark Jones and Cisco and you know, I'm hanging out with Gorilla Rilla, they're not sitting around negative, destroying the coach, bashing the team, we're the worst team. They're trying to help. We can only help so much. The offensive line's got a block. And I think that they're going to have a big week. This, to me, is a very important week on what they're going to do. How is Pete Carroll going to use all of his experience to go out there and coach this team under this type of negativity? Not negativity in the building. I was there today. Not negativity in the building. Negativity in the media and some fans about what's going on with this O-line. How will Pete handle that and use that to motivate the team to win? Isn't that what it's about? I think that's what it's about. JT, live today, the aftermath of the loss to the Commanders.
Welcome back to the JT the Brick Show, brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka, America's original craft vodka. Visit titosvodka.com.
Shotgun to Geno Smith, back to throw. Steps up, dancing in the pocket, underneath Tucker, crossing left, into the end zone! Touchdown, Raiders! Trey Tucker came open late in the left flat, and his first career two-touchdown game has the Raiders back on the board. Down 34-16 with 12:57 to go.
Jason Horowitz on the call. I'm watching NFL Live on ESPN. Peter Schrager, they're showing Dan Quinn with the blood coming down his nose after he was hit out of bounds. Mariota, 207 yards, a touchdown, a rushing touchdown. Marcus Mariota outplayed Geno Smith. Fact. So Geno had a couple of touchdowns, three. But overall, Marcus handled the pressure better. He's able to run better. And look, you don't. It's not quarterback versus quarterback. This isn't Madden, a video game. I thought that Marcus Mariota had a better offensive line, a lot better. How would Marcus Mariota have played behind this Raider offensive line? You tell me. So he had a better. He got a win. He put a win on the board against his former team, the Raiders. That can't happen. I mean, Jaden Daniels wasn't playing in the game, and Marcus Mariota handed us our lunch. Come on. That can't happen. You can't let that happen. If Jaden Daniels did that and put up 40 points, all right. He's Jaden Daniels. Mike in Vegas. Mike, thanks for waiting on 920. Go ahead.
Hey, JT, just a couple of quick little points. I think everybody's touching on all of it. Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking the offensive line, maybe give a shot at putting JPJ back to center, put Dylan Parham back on the right side mm-hmm. where they seemed to gel pretty good last year. At the end of the year, they were playing like that, and maybe that could be a possible solution. And second, you said it, I've heard you say it so many times, I think we're getting a little bit somewhat predictable with the run that we're bashing Genty right into the block wall, the center of the line. Yeah, he breaks free every once in a while and gets a few yards, but he had a lot of points yesterday where he was getting contact at the line or behind the line. I'm thinking, get him, start run plays, working to the outside. Bunch mm-hmm. of wide receivers up on one side, clear that side of the field out, and now giving him a shot maybe to bring runs down the outside yeah. instead of trying to go right up the gut. Protection hasn't mm-hmm. been good, and maybe something like that could be a positive for us. I'll let you go with that and hear what you got to say.
Appreciate it. I agree with you. I'm all for switching up the personnel on the offensive line. if you move Jackson Powers-Johnson to center and you move Meredith to guard and you put Cap at left guard instead of right guard and do that, I'm all for that. Do whatever you want to try. I'm cool with that. I think that's one thing. Lincoln Kennedy pushed back on me with that. Lincoln says you find the guys. Remember the five best? We've been talking about the five best. Put them out there and then do a better job at coaching them. Do a better job with protection. Do a better job with your assignments. Lincoln played. I didn't play. That's what Lincoln thinks. I'm all for changing out. I'm really close to saying we drafted two rookies. They've never played a game. Put them in. I'm really close to that. Let them play. They're big guys. The Raiders, John Spytek, drafted in the first round two big offensive linemen to play in the NFL, correct? These guys are going to play. Put them in now if these guys are whiffing. I don't care what you do. Just get it right. All I care about is winning. I don't care if you win 17-15 or 38-37. The Raiders have to beat the Bears. The Raiders have to beat the Bears at all costs. The Bears look like they've figured out their passing game. They got really good receivers. Roma Dunze from Bishop Gorman. DJ Moore. They got a really good tight end. You know what the middle of the field's going to look like to the Bears when they look at film this week? Oh, my God. The Bills are going to be running with their helmets out to practice going, hey, let me run the first 12-yard in route over the middle of the field. We got to stop that. But we got to get the offensive line fixed. And I choose to protect Ashton Jeanty on the radio for now. You know, I mean, I work for the Raiders. I want Ashton Jeanty to be a star. I choose to say, hey, man, look at Ashton. When he has no chance, he gets blown up. Okay, he has no chance. Who's debating that? But look at what happens when he gets a chance. How's he do? He looks pretty good, doesn't he? I think he looks pretty good. This is the aftermath of the loss to the Commanders. I think it's a two-day cleanup. What do you think? And then we'll move on to the Bears. I got to fill radio hours. Do this today and tomorrow. 702-365-9200. Sam Munson. It's a national interview we do from the 33rd team coming up. And then more of your analysis of the Raiders' performance.